This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Your pet is one of a kind, the best dog, cat, bird, horse, fill in the blank that you've ever known. Sadly, you also know that it can't live forever. Or can it? There is no fountain of youth, but it doesn't mean that people haven't stopped looking for ways to extend life. In 1869, Johann Friedrich Meiser extracted what would become to known as DNA from the nuclei of white blood cells. In 1996, Dolly the sheep was cloned, using science based on that century-old work. If Dolly could be cloned, how about your pet? Will it be the same pet or different? What's involved? Is this the right decision for you? My guest is Melaine Rodriguez, Client Service Manager for Viagen Pets and Equine, based in Cedar Park, Texas. We're going to discuss cloning and all that's involved right after this short break. Stay tuned.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up two tubes of Dogasuds.
Get the third tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogasud shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogasuds. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Melaine, thank you for being with us. I find the kismet is just amazing because after you and I chatted for a while and set up this interview today, sadly, the next day I needed to euthanize a pet. They were interested in cloning, and I had this discussion, and I was now felt much more educated. So thank you for being with us. I think this is going to be fascinating for my listeners.
You're very welcome. I'm so excited to be here.
So cloning, how does a pet get cloned?
So the very first step, if you are thinking you might potentially want to clone your pet someday, that first step is our genetic preservation service. And what that involves is the veterinarian taking a few small skin biopsy samples from your pet. If you're planning in advance, it is best to have these biopsies done while the pet is still alive and healthy. So if you're planning in advance, it's best to order our biopsy kit, and we can ship this biopsy kit overnight to the veterinarian or to the client. And this biopsy kit has everything that the veterinarian needs to take the samples and to ship them to us at the appropriate temperature. So it's just a small 4-millimeter punch biopsy of the skin. So very simple. Every veterinarian in the world has done a punch biopsy before, so very easy to do. It can be done with a local anesthesia, or it can be done under a general anesthesia. If you are planning in advance and the veterinarian prefers to do a general anesthesia, then you might consider having this done in conjunction with dental cleaning, something like that, where the dog is already under anesthesia. So we have a lot of clients that choose to do it at that time. So the vet takes the biopsy samples, very small, very minimally invasive for the pet. We'd like to have anywhere from 2 hours biopsy overnight with a return FedEx label that's included. And from these tissues, they go into cell culture, and we will grow millions of cells that contain that pet's DNA. And these cells will ultimately be the starting point for the cloning process.
That is absolutely amazing. It really sounds like Jurassic Park. So is it possible to do Jurassic Park dinosaurs, or we're just doing cats and dogs? Or I should ask, what species can be cloned?
So there have been quite a few species cloned. Viagen Pets was originally part of a company that cloned livestock. So cattle, pigs, goats, and sheep have been cloned over the past 17 years when we began. And Viagen Pets and Equine, we now just clone dogs, cats, and horses. So those are the three species that we clone. We've been cloning horses for about 17 years and dogs and cats for about almost 4 years. And it's going very well. The cloning is just growing and growing. The more people find out about this and that it's a possibility, it's really a growing field.
With cloning, I think a lot of people have concerns, and I had a lot of questions because it's not a topic that was really broached when I was in veterinary school. So with cloning, I know that Dolly the sheep seemed to be healthy, lived a shorter lifespan than a typical sheep of that particular breed. What happens for a dog and a cat? Is there, or a horse, is their lifespan basically the same physical issues that they have? Can they breed, for instance?
Yes, all very good questions. So going back to Dolly the sheep, the technique that we use for cloning is essentially very much the same as what was used for Dolly many years ago. And it is technically called somatic cell nuclear transfer, or SCNT. So a somatic cell is any cell in the body that's anything other than a sperm or an egg. And for dogs and cats and horses, these somatic cells, these are what we grow in the culture from the skin biopsies taken from the pet. So that somatic cell is that source of the DNA. So that process is essentially the same. How the embryo is made in all of these species is we use an egg from a donor animal, and we remove the nucleus of that egg, and we transfer in one of these somatic cells from the skin sample. And these egg and the cell are now fused together, and an embryo starts to grow. And then we'll transfer that embryo into the surrogate animal. For dogs and cats, they're a little bit different than the horse because dogs and cats are litter-bearing species. So we do transfer multiple embryos into that surrogate mom. So there is that chance that there could be twins or triplets. It's usually a small number of puppies or kittens in the litter, but that is a chance. And usually the clients will take as many as are born in the litter, and it's just the one flat fee. But back to your question about the longevity of these animals. So Dolly did live a shorter lifespan than normal. And so there was speculation at the time, 22 years ago, that this was because she was a cloned animal. There's been a lot of research done on cloned animals, studying their longevity and their health over the years. And cloned animals have been shown to live a normal lifespan, which is really refreshing for a lot of these pet owners, because unfortunately Dolly kind of got a bad rap because she did live a shorter life. So it is, you know, it's a sort of a myth surrounding cloning that cloned animals live a shorter lifespan than an average animal. And that's simply not true. So cloned animals have been shown to live a normal lifespan, should be just as healthy as the original animal. Now, one question that we do get quite often is, let's say, you know, the original dog developed cancer. Will the cloned dog develop cancer?
Great question.
And yes, that comes quite often. And the answer is, it depends on the cause of that cancer. So, which we don't, veterinarians don't usually know. It's not really definitive what the causes of most cancers are. But if it was something that was shown to be genetically linked type of disease or illness, then that cloned animal is going to have those same genes. So that same potential to develop that disease at some point in its life. It's not automatically going to develop that disease, but that potential is there. So sometimes the client can know to watch out for symptoms. They may see them earlier, and, you know, because they're looking a little more closely for them, or there may be some diagnostics that can be done on the pet to make sure that this pet is not developing that disease that the original pet may have had, but should have just the same longevity and health status as the original animal.
So genetic counseling, especially in a situation like that, because you say, all right, I have a golden retriever, and this golden retriever died of a type of cancer, hemangiosarcoma. But this was just the best dog in the entire world. So I want another one just like Goldie. And then there is that chance, because of the genetic predisposition, that the next pet could have cancer also. So that's, yes, I think very important. So, Melaine, you were talking about this genetic preservation that can go on. And you'll sometimes have a cloned animal in surrogate that you may have three or four. Are they obligated to take all the pets from that litter? And if not, what do you do with the other pets? And I'm sure people are thinking, ooh, how many cats and dogs and horses do they have to act as surrogates?
So our litter sizes are usually small, just one or two, maybe three puppies or kittens in the litter. We did have some larger litter sizes. We've had up to five puppies in a litter. And this was sort of earlier on in the cloning process when we were fine-tuning the number of embryos that go into the surrogate to get the number of puppies or kittens that we're hoping for. Most clients will only want just one or maybe two. So, you know, I can understand four or five is a lot to handle. So, so we do sort of try to tweak that, but you never know. It's kind of like IVF. You may end up with twins or triplets, and it's just a little bit of a risk that may be there. I would say most clients, if there are three puppies, let's say, most clients are going to say, yes, I want every single puppy that's born. And that's completely understandable. I know I would. And I have my dog cells preserved. So I've already talked to my family and said, okay, if I clone my dog Zeus and there's three puppies, I'm going to take one. And okay, my brother, you'll take one, right? And my mother, you'll take one. So I've got them divvied up. So within my family, so I can keep an eye on them and I know where they're going to go. And that's what most clients will choose to do is they may not keep every single one of them. Some will, but if there's more than they can really take care of, it's, you know, three puppies is a lot, then they may divvy those up. Now, the client is not obligated to take every puppy or kitten that's born. With the cloning agreement, they are guaranteed at least one healthy puppy or kitten. They're not obligated to take any extra ones. There's, of course, no additional fee for those extra puppies or kittens. So we've had a couple of clients that have said, you know, I can only take two. Can you find a good home for these other, you know, the other ones? And we've done that. We have a really good adoption program. In the cases that we've done that before, those puppies have actually been adopted out to our own employees. So it makes it really nice because then the clients can keep tabs on those and they know that those puppies went to a good home.
So you have the genetic preservation. I want to have the biopsies done, small, really not painful. I agree with you. Doing little 4-millimeter biopsies with local anesthesia is so simple. You can then have that preserved. How long can you preserve it? So if somebody says, you know, this is really good dog, I'm not really sure if I want to do this, what's going to be going on later on in my life, how long can that genetic material be stored and how is it stored?
I mean, I would say most of our clients are wanting to just preserve the cells for now. The cost is quite a lot for the cloning itself. So most clients are just holding on to that DNA. We preserve the cells. These cells, the cell culture that we do, it takes about 2 to 4 weeks to complete the culture. And then these cells are placed in cryovials with a cryoprotectant media, and they're stored in liquid nitrogen tanks. And these cells can be kept stored essentially forever, for decades. We have clients that have stored cells with us for 17 years, and we've actually cloned a couple of dogs and at least one cat whose cells were stored for 17 years. And then they cloned this pet later on. So it's really amazing. So essentially forever, the cells can be stored. There is an annual storage fee for storing cells. So the initial cost of the genetic preservation is $1,600, and that includes culturing the cells and the biopsy kit shipment to and from the veterinarian, and that also includes the first year of cell storage. After the first year, the annual storage fee is $150 per year. And the great thing about this is all of the upfront fees that the client pays for the preservation and any subsequent storage fees, these all get combined and added together. And then when they decide to clone down the road, everything that they've paid to date gets applied toward the cloning. So long-term clients really like that.
So I think this is a fascinating way that you're doing this, Melaine, where you are saving these cells, you're having this fee, but then you're not being hit with additional fees, you know, way on top of that because you've been paying for a little by little all the way along. That's great. Now, again, you are saving the cells. It's not embryos because oftentimes we hear about in human medicine where they're saving this genetic material, but you're actually saving embryos. Is that correct?
That's right. For the genetic preservation, we haven't created the embryos just yet. They're actually, for pets, there has not been a technique developed to be able to freeze embryos. We can do that in horses. So because we've been cloning horses for so long, we have improved the technique. Initially, there was, when we first started doing this, there was no process available to successfully freeze and thaw embryos for horses. But now we've developed these techniques. We have some of the top cloning scientists in the world on our staff, and they're just amazing. And so for horses, that is our standard thing that we do with the cloning, is we create the cloned embryos, and then they are frozen, and then they can be shipped and thawed and transferred into the recent mare at that point. But for dog and cat, it has to be a fresh embryo. So we don't create the embryos just yet. We just, for our genetic preservation, we're just simply producing the cell line and freezing these somatic cells.
Chatting right now with Melaine Rodriguez, I am learning so much about this. Thank you. I know that this is just fascinating. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back, and then we're going to talk more about preserving your pet.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
It's designerpetsweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit designerpetsweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Large or small, we fit them all. designerpetsweaters.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Melaine, so you've been saving this genetic material. You decide to go ahead and clone your pet. When you get your one puppy, two kittens, whatever your cloning situation brings you, is it going to be the same pet that you had before? So here you have, again, Goldie, that golden retriever, who loves playing tennis balls and goes to the snow and has this cute little idiosyncratic reaction every time somebody comes to the door. Is that what you're going to be getting in this cloned puppy?
So potentially, and that is one of the most common questions that we get, because of course, that's usually the main reason someone wants to clone their pet. They love everything about that pet. It's the best pet they've ever had. The personality is wonderful. Their temperament's wonderful. And they want another version of this pet. So a cloned animal is really essentially just an identical twin to that pet. So they have the same DNA, the same genetics, but they will, of course, be raised in a slightly different environment because it's down the road when this pet is cloned years later. So the underlying temperament of the pet, intelligence of the pet, we know those to be genetically linked. There's a very strong correlation between temperament and intelligence in a pet. So we've seen some working dogs that we've cloned that are just amazing, smart working dogs. And those cloned dogs are just as smart as that original dog. They're picking up on things quicker than an average dog would. So, and we're also hearing feedback from some clients that personality is very similar. So there is this mixture of our personality between genetics and environment. So temperament is that underlying personality, really, what's ingrained there in the genetics. So temperament, we see very, very similar. Personality, very similar, but could be a little bit different depending on what they've been exposed to and how different the environment is that they've been raised in.
Speaking of raising, what age is it that you get that puppy or a kitten? And with your facilities, is there socialization, all those things that go on with that puppy and kitten that here you have no control over?
Yes, and absolutely. These puppies and kittens, they have great socialization. We've got a great care staff that goes out of their way to just make sure that these puppies and kittens have the best socialization possible. So they get daily interaction, playtime. It's just wonderful. When the client clones their pet, we will start sending pictures of the puppies or kittens starting when they're just a few days old. And then the client will get weekly pictures and updates. And then when they're a little bit older, especially for the puppies, we'll start sending videos because they're moving around so fast. You know, it's hard to get a still picture video. It's a little easier. And the clients love that. So the puppies, we have a playhouse area that the puppies get to go to, and they've got all kinds of toys and different textured ground that they can walk on, all different kinds of textures. They take little short car rides, so they're exposed to that. We're riding in a car for a little bit of time, and so they are exposed to different noises and lots of different people. So we've had feedback from the clients that these puppies are very well socialized, and the kittens as well. And they usually stay with us until they're about 8 weeks of age. You know, we want them to be fully weaned. So usually about 8 weeks is when the puppies and kittens get to go home.
Mm, that just sounds like it would be a really tough job there at Biogen Pets to have that responsibility of playing with the puppies and getting and kittens and getting them socialized.
Right. It's a job, isn't it?
It is wonderful when people can plan ahead, but here you may have somebody who's listening to this thinking, all right, I might want to do this. And then tragically, within the next week or two, before they really had a chance to get it together, their pet dies. Now, is it possible to still start this process of genetic preservation after the pet has passed?
So it can be. Of course, it is always best to plan in advance and to have the biopsy samples taken while the pet is still alive. That gives us our best chance of a successful cell culture. Under certain circumstances, we can obtain viable cells from tissues taken after the pet has passed away. And on our website, which is biogenpets.com, we have a tab that says emergency. And this is for the situation where the pet has unexpectedly passed away. The client didn't have a biopsy kit on hand, but they do want to preserve samples. The veterinarian can follow these emergency instructions. Our biopsy kit is not absolutely needed, so they can take the samples without our kit. The most important thing is the temperature of the body. So once that pet passes, those cells will start to die. So we need living cells to continue to be able to grow living cells. So refrigeration of the body will slow down that cell death process. So the sooner the body can be refrigerated, the better. And if the body is refrigerated within a few hours of the pet passing away, then those tissues can be viable for up to 5 days. But it is better. The sooner we can get the tissues, our better chance of success. So you've got about a 5-day window if the body's refrigerated. Now, I will say that unfortunately, we get a phone call almost on a daily basis where the pet has passed away. The client has decided they want to cremate the pet. So the pet is at their veterinary clinic awaiting cremation, and the body has been frozen. And unfortunately, that is detrimental to the tissue. So that freezing can damage the tissue. If it's just a few hours, then there may be still some viability left there. But if it's more than a day or so, chances are those tissues are no longer viable. So that happens so very often. So we are trying to spread the word, let veterinarians know about this service so that they can be aware that before the body's frozen, check with the client and see if there's any possibility they might want to have this pet genetically preserved someday, and then they can know to take tissue samples before the body is frozen.
Lane Rodriguez, another scenario. The pet passed away several months ago, was cremated. Maybe they have some of their cremains. They had a lock of hair that they, you know, snipped from the pet's body before it was cremated. Can that material be used for this cloning preservation process? Because we watch, you know, all these crime shows on TV where they're extracting DNA from these little bits of tissue and a little bit of blood. Can that be used by Viagen Pets?
So, and that's another question that I get on almost a daily basis. So the answer is no, not with today's technology. We do have to have a living, viable, growing cell to use as a source for cloning. Now, you're right. From these CSI shows, we know that there is DNA in the root of the
Jurassic Park, too.
That's right. That's right. So there's DNA there. But it's not the type of DNA, it's not the full cell that we need for the cloning process. We hope to one day be able to clone from blood. We're not quite there at that point yet, but there's lots of research being done in that area, and that would really change things a lot. So as of today, with today's technology, we do have to have a fresh tissue biopsy.
One of the things that always impresses me is with the internet, this podcast is literally heard throughout the world. So here you are based in Texas, and people in the United States can FedEx samples back and forth quite easily and get that puppy or kitten popped on an airplane. What happens to for one of my clients, or one of the listeners, I should say, who's in Europe or in Asia, who's hearing this going, yes, I want to do this for my pet? Is Viagen Pets really the only source of cloning for pets right now, or how can you help them?
We are one of the only companies in the world that clones dogs, and we are the only company in the world that clones cats. So we do have lots of international clients for both our pet cloning and our horse cloning. Now, for pet cloning or pet DNA preservation, the process is really simple, even for international clients. There's a little bit of extra paperwork that's involved to be able to get the tissues into the country. Those tissues, as I said, do need to stay cold during shipping. So shipping from Europe, for example, can take about 2 days, and that's fine. We have the clients add a few extra ice packs in with the samples, and that will keep the tissues cold during that shipping back to us. So yes, we can do a genetic preservation for clients who may live outside of the United States. It's a little more complicated for horses because an import permit is required. So you do have to plan in advance and have those permits in place before the tissue biopsy is taken. But for pets, it is a very easy process.
Malene, you mentioned that to go ahead and to initially get the biopsy, and I'm sure there's going to be other fees for your veterinarian to do the procedures, but just for the Viagen Pets aspect of it, you get the biopsy, you culture the cells, you now cryopreserve these cells. I believe you said it was about 1,600?
That's right, yes.
And then there's a yearly storage fee. All of this goes to the cloning if you decide to do it. Okay, I've decided I want to clone my cat. Best little kitty in the whole world. I know that it's going to be the Siamese twin. Behavior may be the same. Not exactly. Okay, what kind of a check do I need to write to you?
So right now the fees are quite high. It is $50,000 to clone a dog and $25,000 to clone a cat. So it is quite expensive, but the fee is, we get questions and people say, you know, can I make payments on that? And so essentially with your genetic preservation and your yearly storage fees, you're making a little bit payments along the way. When it comes time to cloning, that cloning fee is broken up into two installments. So the client will pay half of the cloning fee up front as the deposit, less any fees that they had paid to date. So those initial preservation and storage fees, those get deducted from the deposit. Then once we have that deposit in hand, the client goes on our wait list. So we do have a little bit of a wait list for the cloning. It's about 1 to 2 months for the dog cloning before we begin the actual embryo production work. Cat cloning, because we are the only company in the world that's cloning cats, that cloning wait list for cats is quite a bit longer, about 6 months wait time before we can begin the cloning process for cats. So the client pays that deposit. When we get to their spot on the wait list, we'll make those embryos and transfer them into the surrogate dog. And if all goes well, she'll get pregnant right away. Sometimes it may take more than one round of embryo transfers, but usually only takes just a few. And then she will have a normal gestation, a normal pregnancy, and she will nurture those puppies or kittens until they're about 8 weeks old. And then that's when the final cloning payment is made. It's just right before that puppy or kitten is ready to go home. So that final half of the payment is paid at that time.
The cost of love is a little on the high side, but oh, that is your puppy and kitten back again with you. And it's hard to put a price tag on that. Are there any questions that people ask that I haven't asked you that you think my listeners need to know about?
No, I think you've done a great job of covering most of our frequently asked questions. I think one of the most important things for people to be aware of is when they do hear that high price of cloning, rather than shutting it down and saying, oh no, that's not anything I could ever afford, is to just think about having that preservation done now, because the price for cloning, we hope, will drop in the coming years. As I mentioned, we've been cloning horses for 17 years, and that price has actually dropped from $165,000 down to $85,000. So while it's still quite high, it has dropped substantially, almost in half. because we've been able to improve the technology and lower our cost. So we're always doing research, trying to find ways to improve the technology, to be able to decrease our cost, and then we would pass that on to the client. So get those cells preserved, because you know if you don't and then those prices drop, you don't want to have that regret. I had a cat that was my best cat ever, and she lived to be 18 years old. She was my first cat I had as an adult, and she has been gone about 15 years now. And I always think, oh my gosh, I wish I would have known this technology was available 15 years ago. I just didn't know about it. I wasn't in the field. And she's the one. She is the cat of a lifetime. She's the one that I would have cloned. So I'm always wishing that I would have preserved her cells. I may never have been able to afford to clone her, but just having those cells preserved can give the client a peace of mind and some hope. Because these cells are a living part of that pet. The cells are frozen, and then when they're thawed, they're growing, and these cells are still alive. So for a lot of clients who may not even be able to afford that cloning process just yet, having those cells preserved gives them some hope.
Lane, one question I just thought of right now as you're talking about aging. As we age, the process that goes on with our DNA, what actually causes us to age is still being investigated. So have you found that you have is the health, well-being, success rate of cloning from younger cells different from cloning cells that you obtain from an older animal?
Very good question. We don't expect there to be any difference in the clonability or viability of cells taken from a pet when they're young versus when they're older. And as you can imagine, most of the pets that we are cloning are older pets. You know, that's when we think about the end of their life and what's going to happen. And then that's when we think about having those cells preserved. So the majority of the pets are those older pets. And, you know, what we're seeing from those older animals is not any different from cells that would be taken from a younger animal.
Because who knew when they were 2 years of age that this was going to be the best pet that you ever had? You're not going to know until all of a sudden they become that mature pet.
That's right. Yep.
Well, my guest has been Melaine Rodriguez, Client Service Manager for Viagen Pets and Equine based in Cedar Park, Texas. Melaine, thank you. I have learned a tremendous amount today. I know that my listeners have also. If they have any questions, your links are all on our website. They can go there. They can give you a call. I know when I called, your customer service just reached out to me immediately and were extremely helpful.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Well, this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Any questions, drop me a line. Otherwise, tune in again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you that best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.